It's beautiful. Today, as we get started talking about the next gift of Christmas in our Advent series, I want us to sing together that wonderful Christmas hymn, Hakuna Matata. What? You don't know that one? You don't know Hakuna Matata? The Lord has come, let it receive a king. Okay, before you decide that I've eaten too much of Aunt Edna's fruitcake, I know it's Joy to the World, not Hakuna Matata. But that Swahili phrase made famous in a 1994 movie, The Lion King, sometimes seems to be the way we approach joy, especially this time of year. The phrase means no worries. And in the movie, the song is sung by a meerkat named Timba, a warthog named Pumbaa, who are trying to convince the young lion named Simba to forget about his troubles and just live for the moment. It's their problem-free philosophy. And it's an appealing one, isn't it? Let's hear a little clip from it.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase.
Hakuna Matata. Ain't no peasant craze.
It means no worries for the rest of your days.
It's our problem-free philosophy.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata?
Yeah, it's our motto.
What's your motto?
Nothing. What's the matter with you?
You know, kid, these two words will solve all your problems.
That's right. Take Pumbaa, for example. Why, when he was a young warthog.
When I was a young warthog.
Very nice.
Thanks.
He found his aroma lacked a certain appeal. He could clear the savannah after every meal.
I'm a sensitive soul, though I seem thick-skinned. And it hurt that my friends never stood downwind. And oh, the shame!
What a
change in my name!
Praise God. Hey, let's watch it all, man. But no worries. It's not what the angels proclaimed that first Christmas. Instead, they proclaimed good news and great joy for all the people. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. And as we approach Christmas, we often hear about joy and what a joyful season it is. And we try to cram all our other feelings of life down inside. And if we don't feel joyful, we try hard to create joy by tossing our troubles aside or ignoring our deepest struggles and just living for the moment. But that's not what the joy of Christmas is all about. And while it may seem nice for a moment, it is shallow and short-lived. The gift of joy offered to us in Jesus this Advent season is one of deep and abiding joy. It's a joy so powerful that it can hold its own in a dark and hurting world and in the midst of all our troubles and struggles. We'll talk a little bit about that later when we experience joy through the Advent season. But for now, I want to encourage you to come in a spirit of honesty this morning. You don't have to cast aside your worries to unwrap this gift of joy, which Peter called inexpressible and glorious. 1 Peter 1:8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. I love that verse, 1 Peter 1:8. Because if you don't have joy, you can receive that joy because you love him. Or you can receive that joy because you believe in him or now I'm filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. I use that verse a lot in my life because it is hard to put into words sometimes the joy you have for living for the Lord. In fact, 5 years ago today, I knelt at this very altar and was ordained as a lead pastor here, December 11, 2011. It's hard for me to grasp that and understand that, but just know that I love serving you today in our community groups date. 10 that Kevin was leading our group. Just these three verses I want to pray for you because I thought, what does it mean, you know, to be a lead pastor? And for me, it's just learning how to love the Lord more, learning how to trust in Him more, learning to, you know, pray to Him more and just serve. But these verses in Ephesians says, and I pray that you, because this is a prayer that I would like to pray for you, that I do many times. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep the love of Christ is. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I love those verses. And I love that verse, Peter 8. So if you've been able to join us the last couple weeks, you know that we began this journey through the season of Advent to unwrap the gifts of hope and love. The word Advent means coming or arrival. And it's the season is marked by expectation. It's marked by waiting or anticipation and longing. It's a season that links the past and the present and the future. Advent offers us an opportunity as a church family to share in that ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate His birth and to be alert for His second coming. During the Advent, we light candles on a wreath which represent aspects of Jesus' coming to a world lost in the darkness. And as we celebrate with our Advent wreath this season, we'll light an additional candle each week, each flame bringing us closer to the arrival of the true light of the world who was born in Bethlehem. The first week in Advent, we lit a candle of hope. We talked about the hope, past, present, and future, as we looked at a few of the prophecies about Jesus' coming. We were challenged that week, a couple weeks ago, to place our hope in Him amid the trials of life, and we're reminded of hope still to be fulfilled when He comes again. Then last week, we lit the candle of love and talked about how we accept and experience and share the gift of God's love as we discover how wide what I just read and how long and how high and how deep is the love for us. And today, we light the candle of joy. And maybe I'll have the drummer and my little wife come up here and light the candle. I think you just push on it, man. Praise God. TT over here. Thank you. Hey, great job, man. Seriously. We went shopping the other week for Christmas, and something happens when Kathy and I go shopping. I buy stuff, and she doesn't. I mean, how... I mean, this whole outfit was my little tea. She never gets nothing. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. Praise God. Yeah, praise God. Advent is an experience. It's a season to experience joy. The coming of our Savior of the world. It's more than just a feeling by Boston 1988. It's a joy that causes all the creation to celebrate. It's a deep and powerful kind of rejoicing. See where that word joy comes from? It's talked about in the Psalms 96, 11 through 13. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that's in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all of the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in faithfulness. So in Advent, we're preparing and expecting Jesus is coming. Let us rejoice. It's the gift that we'll unwrap today. But the question that nags many of us often is this: what if you don't feel like joy this season? How can you receive the gift of joy even in the midst of suffering or loneliness or pain or grief or busyness or stress or even boredom? So let's look at now how we can anticipate and recognize and choose joy. One, 3 points today, anticipate joy. Have you ever been waiting for something for so long you gave up hope that it would ever arrive? Or even just forgotten that it's on the way, or maybe even known it was coming. And you've probably heard stories of a postal service mistakes and letters delivered years after they were sent. Bill Duffy can allude to that. There are some great stories. I found two stories a woman in her 80s in France received a letter in the mail that had been sent to her great-grandfather in 1877. 138 years earlier, it was about an order of yarn for her great-granddaughter's spinning wheel. And then there's even more of a delivery written about in the Washington Post in 2015. Reached its intended recipient 14 years later. The letter was written from a father in India to his son who lived in New York City. It was handwritten a few short weeks after 9/11, but it was a bit confusing when it showed up in 2014. The man's father had died years earlier, and as he described in that newspaper essay, the man was flooded with a deep reminder and a sense of connection to his late father. Tears flooded his eyes as he yielded a physical object created by his father, expressing concerns about his son and grandchildren's safety about the events of the world in that tragic time. In the article, the son wrote, 14 years is a long time to wait for a letter, but rarely has one been more welcomed. The expression and concern in the letter is sadly still relevant today. But the physical letter itself was a real joy. So certainly an unexpected joy. One that was on its way the whole time. The letter could have been meaningful had it arrived on time, but it took a deeper emotions even over time. And I guess I'm here to tell you today, joy can be that way. Whether we know it's coming or not. Whether we've given up hope for its arrival or not. When we started the Advent season talking about hope, we looked at the history of people of Israel who were waiting for a Messiah for thousands of years, and that's a tough wait. And certainly some of those Israelites probably gave up hope that a Messiah would ever come. Some probably just carried on, distracted by life, not thinking they would ever see the coming of the Messiah, but others held out hope. Their waiting was active. And when we engage in active waiting, anticipating what is to come and watching for it, the waiting has a purpose then. Hope stays alive. Joy is similar. Even when we don't feel like joy right now, we can anticipate the coming of joy to the world and the gift of Jesus. We can prepare to move from our state of discouragement or oblivion into experience of a life-giving joy. The shepherds in the Christmas story are a good example. When the angels showed up and delivered a message to the shepherds on the hillside outside Bethlehem, the shepherds didn't immediately feel joy. They felt scared. Luke told us in Luke 2, 10 and 11, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. What will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord." So the angel in those verses first addressed their fear. Then he helped them move beyond to receive the message of joy. That the Savior, the Messiah, the one Israel has anticipated and waited for so long, had been born. By the end of the night, those shepherds got it. When you look at Luke 2:20, it says the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they have heard and seen, which were just as they had been told about. So as we walk through this Advent season together as a church family, we know what's coming. We know that Christ the Messiah has come. This we can celebrate and rejoice over. And we knew that there's more to come with His eventual return. And this we must anticipate. So let's experience the Advent as a season where we anticipate the arrival of joy, even when we struggle with the realities of today. Point number two, recognize joy. Do you ever wonder why, out of all the people in the world, the wise men were the only ones who recognized and followed the Star of Bethlehem? It was a star. It was there in the sky for the whole world to see. But most people, Jews and Gentile alike, they didn't recognize its meaning. For these men who did, it caused great joy. Matthew 2, 10 and 11 says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The Magi, they traveled a long way to find the one whose birth was announced by the star. They probably encountered hardships along the way. They had to deal with the deceptive tyrant King Herod when you read the scriptures. And they might have even lost sight of the star for some time. But they knew what they were looking for. And they kept seeking even when things went wrong. They recognized the arrival of joy in the world, and they were filled with joy as they responded to it, bringing their gifts to worship Jesus. It can be hard to recognize joy sometimes in our lives, especially because it always doesn't look the way we expect it to. We expect joy to be free of worry and hardship, but the Bible tells us that joy is found in the midst of, even because of, hard things. Look at James 1, 2, and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. There most definitely is nothing Hakuna Matata about that brand of joy. But how much richer and deeper is the experience of joy when it glows bright, when it's illuminating in our path in the midst of darkness, when we recognize that joy comes from trials because they produce perseverance, that makes us into people God wants us to be. Then we can experience joy even in the midst of our hard times that we go through. Last point, choose joy. The idea that we can choose joy is a little deceiving. We can't just close our eyes and focus really hard and somehow conjure up joy. In fact, that often leads us away from joy. Joy is a gift. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. So we can't just create it by trying harder. But we can choose to live in ways that God will bring joy in our life. The concept is probably similar to physical health. We can't get stronger by thinking about and mentally choosing to be stronger. We have to exercise and build the muscles that makes us stronger. While we can't just concentrate hard and choose joy, we can choose to give thanks. We can choose to obey. We can choose to abide. And when we do these things, we will open ourselves up to the gift of joy. So let us look a little closer at these practices. Choose gratitude. Try it. When you don't feel joyful, give thanks. Try it out loud. Maybe naming 3 reasons why you have to be thankful for, or 5 or 10, or write them all down. And you'll be surprised how long your list actually can get pretty long quickly. It's counterintuitive when we don't feel joyful. We would rather gripe and complain. But giving thanks, I can guarantee you, will open your heart to joy. That's why Paul instructed the Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Gratitude goes a long way. It leads us toward joy. When you don't know what to do, when you feel overwhelmed by the season, when you're feeling anything but joy, give thanks. Gratitude goes a long way. It leads us towards joy. When you don't know what to do, when you feel overwhelmed by the season, think about it. When you feel anything but joy, give thanks. Choose to obey is important. In John 15, 11, Jesus said, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So what did he tell his disciples in those verses? What was the secret of joy? And it's really obedience. In John 15, 10, he told his followers to obey his commands. We often want joy just to appear from out of nowhere. But Jesus said it comes from obedience. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. So like gratitude, obedience is a practice. It's a process of seeking to follow God's ways and to put them into action. And I know we don't always get them right, but the more we align ourselves with God's word to understand his ways and then choose actions that align with his word and his wisdom, the more we will open up to his experience, to experience the good fruit of those choices, and the more we prepare ourselves to encounter and receive his joy. Also, choose to abide. John 15 tells us the second part of the secret of joy is it's in a love triangle. Jesus said, just as he remains in his Father's love, we remain in his love. And our joy is complete, the scripture says. This is not an immediate and quick satisfaction concept. It's the idea of a continual love and a relationship with Jesus that brings the gift of joy into our lives. Jesus used a metaphor in John 15 of a vine, this passage, because he was describing a process of our ongoing growth and nourishment that produces a fruit, if the band wants to come forward. The same is true of our relationship with him, and our joy is made complete by how? By imitating Christ's love and obedience. Let this season of Advent be a time of joy, a time of gratitude and obedience and abiding in his love as we anticipate the joy he brings us this Christmas. If you could bow your heads for a moment. God, thank you that you, in this season of Advent, we can receive that unwrapped gift of joy. Help us to anticipate. Help us to recognize and choose joy as we give thanks and obey and abide in you. Lead us into joy as you lead us into a deeper relationship with you. Give us the courage and strength to rejoice no matter what circumstances we face, and make our joy complete in you. If the ushers could come forward. Father, as they come forward, I just want to pray for our offering, Lord. Thank you for all you're doing here in this church, Lord. It's a joy to be able to serve here. It's a joy to be able to worship here. It's a joy to be able to give thanks among all our family, Lord, as we trust in you this Christmas season, Lord. As we put our hope in you, as we love you today, Lord, and as we are joyful because of our relationship with you, Father. Show us how to choose that joy. Show us how to give thanks in all our circumstances. Show us how to be obedient to our word, to your word, Father. And Father, I ask you to bless this offering. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.